Shalom to all. Today's Avos Chol Nafayin Aleph, and we're talking about the fourth line with the words Chai B'chal B'heim Manolon. And today's Avos sponsor Lili Nishmas Marsh Memsar Bas Biyakom Moshe. Her Nishama should have an Aliyah. So Rabbi Yosef asked Ben Azai how we know the Nevel of a Kosher Chai is Metame because there's no explicit pasuk. And after back and forth, Rabbi Yosef brought Rabbi Shmuel, who stated that Chai and B'heim are included in each other's categories, Tame and Tame, Tahar and Tahar. And now explain Rabbi Shmuel one line at a time. And remember, Tame means non-kosher and Tahar means kosher. So here's the first thing: Chai B'chal B'heim Manolon. How do we know that Chai, which again is usually a term used to refer to a non-domesticated animal, like an animal that lives out in the wild, how do we know that's included in behemah? And that even when the pasuk says behemah, it's really including chaya. And the answer is dechsev, because the pasuk says, zayse behemah shor techelu, this is the behemah that you're allowed to eat, and then it lists behemahs, domesticated animals, shor sek sum gaimer, and then what does it say? Ayol tzvi yachmer gaimer. And the question is, how ketzad? How does this make sense? Ayol tzvi and yachmer are chayas, but it mentions the word behemah in the pasuk. It must be chay b'chal behemah. We learn from here, the chaya is really included in behemah. We continue, behem b'chal chayim nalon, how do we know the behemah is included in chaya, and that even when the pasuk says the word chaya, it's also talking about domesticated animals, behemoths. The answer is dechsev, because the pasuk says zoysa chaya asher toichlu mikol habehema asher la'aretz kol mafreses parsa. And so first it mentions chaya, and then it talks about behema. Haketzad, how do we understand this? It must be behema b'chal chaya. The behema is really included in chaya. We go on to the next statement, Rabbi Shmuel. Chaya tahar b'chal behema tahara. The kosher chaya is included in kosher behema in regards to what? L'simanim, for the way we could tell that it's kosher. When the pasuk talks about the signs of a kosher animal, namely that it has split hooves and chews its cud, it only says in regards to behema. It doesn't say that about chaya. There must be this idea that kosher chaya is included in kosher behema. On the next one, chaya tamei b'chal behema tamei. Non-kosher chaya is included in non-kosher behema in regards to what? Laharba, for mating. We only have an isser explicitly in the pasuk regarding mating different species of non-kosher behemas, and that would apply to non-kosher chaya as well. Going on to the next line of Rav Shmuel, he had said behema tamei b'chal chaya tamei. Then non-kosher behema is included in non-kosher chaya. What's this for? L'chad Rebbe, for Rebbe's drasha, which I mentioned in the previous daf that we're going to be learning over here. So this is where it is. It's according to Rebbe. The time you have a brayso, Rebbe Amir Rebbe says, Ekrani Chaya, I read the pasuk with Chaya, Behema Lamanemra. Why does it say the word Behema? Now, this is talking about a carbon oil of a yoyred, which is a unique type of carbon that a person has to bring for going into the base of Mikdash if he's Tameh, or for eating Kudshim when he's Tameh. And the question is that one pasuk in regards to oil of a yoyred tells us, Ibnivlas Chaya Tameya, Ibnivlas Behema Tameya. So the question is, why does that say Behema? It already says Chaya. And Rebbe's answer is, Nemarkan Behema Tameya, Venemar Lahalan Behema Tameya. It says over here in this pasuk that we just quoted, Behema Tameya, and it says over there in regards to a person who's Tameh, who ate Kudshim, which as we just said, he's the type of person that has to bring carbon oil of yored. So it says the word behemoth tamei over there as well. What do we learn from this hekesh? Malalon tomas kodesh afkan tomas kodesh. Just like over there, it's talking about tomas kodesh, namely that he touched toma and he's eating kodesh. That's going to be mechayev him. So it's over here in the first pasuk that we quoted, even though it's not explicit, we learn from the hekesh that he's going to be chayev this carbon oil of yored if he touches nevela and then he eats hekdesh. Now the only way Rebbe's able to make his drasha in the first place is if behema is included in chaya, because again his question was it already says nevela of a chaya. Why does it have to say nevela of behema? Now if nevela of behema wasn't included in the veil of Chaya, he wouldn't even be able to ask that. It would have to be referring to two separate things. So it must be, again, from the fact that Rebbe says, why does the pasuk say Nevelas Behema? It's clear that he holds that it's included in Nevelas Chaya. So that's this din of Rabbi Shmuel. And the last din of Rabbi Shmuel, Behema Tahira, B'chal Chaya Tahira, Kosher Behema is included in Kosher Chaya for what? Li Yitzira, for Yitzira. What does it mean, Yitzira? So when Hashem created Chayas, it says the word Vayitzer, Yitzira, he formed them, but by Behemas, it does not say that. And therefore, we learn that Behema is included in Chaya for Yitzira. What does that mean? Did not we have following Mishnah, and this actually has to do with humans. We know that when a woman gives birth to a male, she's tamei for a week. When she gives birth to a female, 2 weeks. Now, after this time, she's considered tahar, even if she sees dam. That's called dam toihar. For a male, it's up until day 40. That's another 33 days. For a female, it's up until day 80. That's another 66 days. And this is even if she has a miscarriage. So now knowing that, we see what this has to do with Rabbi Shmuel's din. Did not the Mishnah says, hamapelis min behema chai v'oif. If a woman miscarried a form that looked like a behema, chai or oif, the key over here is behema and chaya, bein tamei and bein tahirin, where the form was a kosher or non-kosher animal, im zachar, if the form was male, teshev lezachar, so she has to be teshev, that's lashon of the pasuk, for a male, which means she would have these dinim up until day 40, and im nekeva, if the form was a female, teshev lenekeva, then she would act like it's a nekeva, and that would be up until day 80. However, any idea, if she doesn't know, she doesn't know what the form is, male or female, teshev lezachar ulenekeva, she has to be machmir, and treat it like a zachar and nekeva, which means she would be tamei for 2 weeks, because maybe it's a nekeva, but she would only have this heter of dam toihar, that any dam that she sees is not metame her up until day 40, because maybe it's a zachar. To Rav Meir's opinion, if it doesn't have the form of a person, it's not considered a child. Bottom line is, we at least see in Shitas Rav Meir that behema is included in chaya, because the only way we're able to say this din is due to the fact that we have this word vayitzer. We have this word by a woman giving birth, and we have this word by a chaya. So behema could only be part of this din of Rav Meir if behema is included in chaya, because as we had said, behema doesn't have the word vayitzer by it. So that's our understanding of that line. last nekuda of Rabbi Shmuel. Now, his last line in the Gemara actually goes back to the mission of the previous Amud with machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yosef Glili. And remember, Rabbi Yosef Glili said that a dead ubar in the stomach of a non-kosher animal is metame the one who touches it. And his source for this at the end of the day was Renach Bar Yitzchak, which is a pasuk that mentions both Nevela V'chaya and Behema. And we learn from here that there's a chumra that we find by non-kosher animal over kosher animal. And now the Gemara asks, Rabbanon, what about the Tanakhama of that Mishnah, Haikra Lomeli? What do they do with that pasuk? What's it necessary for? Because according to the Rabbanon, the Tanakhama of the Mishnah, even a dead fetus of a non-kosher animal inside its mother is not metame. So what's the pasuk for? And the answer is, Kulichud Rebbe Huda Asa, they use the whole thing for Shitas Rebbe, which is the drasha that we had up above over here, which was used to explain one of the pointers of Rabbi Shmuel. That's what they use the pasuk for. As we mentioned in the previous daf as well, the Rebbe uses it for his drasha, Rav Nachman Yitzchak uses it for his drasha, two totally separate drashas, and you're not able to learn both of their drashas from the pasuk, so that's what the Rabbanon uses pasuk for. And on top of the Mishnah, this really continues the theme of the previous Mishnah, now just talking about people. A woman whose child died inside of her, and the chaya, which over here is not referring to the wild animal, it means a midwife, she put her hand inside and she touched this child. The midwife is tamei 7 days. That's because she touched a mace, she touched a corpse. However, Vo'isha Tahira, the woman herself, meaning the mother who has the dead baby inside her, she's Tahar Achitzavlad until the child actually comes out of her. Rabbi tells us the din, which is going to take us all the way to the next daf. Kashim Shatoma Balua in Matama, just like absorbed or swallowed Toma is not Metame, Kach Tahara Balua in a Metama. So to something Tahar, which was swallowed or absorbed, doesn't become Tame either. In other words, just like if somebody swallows something Tame, for example, a piece of Nevela, it's now not Metame anymore once it's inside him. So to if a person swallows something that's Tahar and he goes inside a house, for example, which is going to be Metame him, that which he swallowed, which is inside of him, is not Tame. So now we discuss in greater length. Toma Balua Minalon. How do we know this din by Toma Balua again, which means when he swallows something that's Tame, now it's not Metame anymore? That's because Achsei the Pasuk says, somebody who eats from its Nevela, he shall wash his clothing. Basically, the Pasuk is telling us when a person eats Nevela, so he's Tame, he goes to the mikvah, and then by evening time already, he's considered 100% Tahar. Emilia's Kenan, can this also be referring to the following case? That he ate in his veil right before Shkia, but nonetheless, the Torah tells us Tahar that he's Tahar. In other words, a person ate Nevela right before Shkia, obviously becoming Tame. He then went to the mikvah. It's still pretty clear from the Pasuk that he's Tahar. Even though it hasn't been digested yet, it's as if it's been, and he's Tahar. This seems to be pretty clear that Toma Belua, Toma swallowed inside a person, is not Metame anymore. Over here, Rashi points out something that's going to be important for the end of the Gemara as well. There's another din, which is somewhat similar, called Maga Beis Hastarim, something that touched a concealed or hidden place, and that is not Metame either. For example, Nevela was placed on a thin stick and inserted down someone's throat, only touching the inside of his esophagus, so he is not Tame. And Rashi says, don't think that our fellow over here who ate Nevela and went to the mikvah is Tahar because the Toma is now Beis Hastarim. It's inside him. Why not think that? Well, because since he swallowed Nevela, which is also Metame Bimasa, if one carries it, even without touching it, it would be Metame him. So if we're just talking about Toma's Beis Hastarim, the fellow would still be Tame, because again, he has Nevela inside him. And from the fact that Pasuk tells us that he's Tahar, it must mean he's Tahar because of Toma Balua, which again, this is Rabba's din, Toma Balua. As the Gemara, why is this a Raya? Don't Shani Hasa, maybe that case is different. Delay Chazi Lager. That's because it's not fit for a Ger. What does this mean? So Pasuk tells us the Nevela is allowed to be given to a Ger, which refers not to a classic convert who's actually full-fledged Yid, rather it's referring to a Ger Taishav, a non-Jew who's living in Eretz Yisrael, who officially took upon himself to keep Shev Mitzvah B'nei Noach. He is allowed to eat Nevela, and the din is that anything that he would not eat doesn't have the din of Nevela. And so the Gemara's question is, maybe when this fellow swallows Nevela, it's not Metame anymore, not because of Toma Balua, rather because a Ger Taishav wouldn't eat it. If he regurgitated it, if he spat it out, a Ger Taishav wouldn't eat it, so maybe that's why it's not Metame him, not because of Toma Balua. Nothing more further clarifies this, bring up machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Pada regarding what type of Nevela is Tame. Rabbi Yochanan holds, as long as at one point in time, this piece of Nevela was fit for eating, even if later on it's not, because it decayed or rotted to the point that you can't eat it, it still could be Metame, unless it's not even fit for a kelev of a dog. Whereas Rabbi Pada holds that even if it's not edible for people, and it's only edible by dogs, it still could be Metame food. Maybe not people, but it could be Metame Eichlin. It's only once it's not royal klavim, then it's not Metame at all. So I don't know, nothing more further clarifies. Honey, Rabbi Yochanan, this Joshua Tom Blue in the Pasuk is all good according to Rabbi Yochanan. The Amar, he says, Achazu v'achazu ala kelev. The Nevela doesn't have its status. If it's not royal for a dog, Shapir, this is good. In other words, Rabba's Joshua is necessary for Rabbi Yochanan because even though the fellow swallowed Nevela, it could still technically be Metame him if he were to regurgitate it. Hence, it must be its only Tahar because of Tom Balua. El Bar Pada, the Amar Tom Chamur Lager, v'tom Kala ala kelev. But according to Bar Pada, who he said that he differentiates, that is Metame Tom Chamura means Metame even people only when a Ger is able to eat it, whereas Metame Tom Kala, which is Tomas Eichlim, up until a dog's not able to eat it. So to go back to the original question, Mishnah Chazi Lagerhu. Maybe the reason why the Nevela that's inside the person's stomach is not Metame him anymore is because it's not fit for a Ger Taishav to eat, and nothing to do with Tom Balua. The Gemara says, no, Nevela Chazi Bifanov. Granted, you're correct. If it's in front of him, meaning if the Ger Taishav saw this person swallow the Nevela and then he regurgitated it, of course, the Ger Taisha is not going to eat it, so it's not considered roi for him. If it wasn't in front of him, if the Ger Taisha never knew that this piece was once upon a time swallowed by the person and then spat back out, it would be fit for him, and therefore, even when this nevela is inside the person's stomach, it still technically could be eaten by a Ger Taisha, and therefore, the only way we're able to say that it's not Mimnitami the person it's inside of is because of Toma Balua. The Gemara says, okay, Ashkan Toma Balua. We have a good source for Rabba's din of Toma Balua. Tahara Balua Minalan. What about if we have something Tahar that was swallowed? How do we know this din? And the answer is Kavachemer, we clear Kavachemer. Now, before we continue, we have to explain. The following is a din regarding Tomas Mace. We know that when a mace, a corpse, or even a piece of it is under an oil, a roof, everything underneath that oil is Tame. Unless something is inside a Klicheres, an earthenware Kli, which is Mukaf Tzmid Pasil, it's with a sealed cover, so then this Toma that's inside this oil, that's inside this tent or this roof, does not go inside the Kli. However, if the mace itself is inside the Kli, then even if it has a sealed cover, then everything under that oil is Tame, because the Toma escapes the Kli. So now knowing that, the Gemara tells us a Kal V'Chomer for a Tahara Balua. Uma Klicheres HaMukaf Tzmid Pasil. She'enoi Matzel Al Toma She'besoichoi Milatame. Just like a Klicheres, that's Mukaf Tzmid Pasil. It's sealed, that it doesn't save, it doesn't protect Toma that's inside of it from being Matame. And why is this? The Amar Meir was stated, Toma Rutsutsa Bakasva Oila Al Rukia. The Toma Rutsutsa breaks through and goes all the way up to the sky. And Rutsutsa means either squished or compressed. And this is talking about when a mace is buried and does not have a tefach of airspace above it. The Toma is Bakas. It breaks through and goes upwards, being Matame everything above it. Nonetheless, Matzal Tahara She'besoichoi Milatame. This very same Kli, when it's sealed, it is Matzil. It does protect something Tar inside of it, namely prevents the Toma from going inside, as we just said before. In other words, what we just said now, a sealed Kli does not prevent Toma from escaping it, but it does prevent Toma from getting in. A person who does protect Toma that's inside of him from getting out, doesn't he prevent something Tar inside of him from becoming Tame? In other words, by person, the Toma Balua inside of him does not escape, and the way we know that is obvious, because since we just said before, since it's not Matame him, of course it's not going to escape. So for sure, Tahara Balua, something Tahar inside of him, should be safe from outside Toma. And that's a Kal V'Chomer. Ask Gemara, hold on a second. Mal Kli Cheres, she can't eat Matame Megaboy. Kli Cheres or the Kalim are different because they don't become Tame on their outside. If something Tame touches a Kli Cheres on the outside, it's not Matame it. We're talking about Adam, she Matame Megaboy. Are we going to say the same din applies by a person where he does become Tame from his outside? Obviously, if something Tame touches a person, he does become Tame. So how can we compare person to Kalim? Answers the Gemara. Atu Anan Megaboy Kamrinon. Are we talking about from the outside of the person, something to touch the person? Mitoche Kamrinon. We're talking about something which is inside the person. And actually, Adrab, we see the opposite. Kli Cheres Chamor, she came in time Aviroi. A Kli Cheres is actually more Chamor when we're talking about the inside because it becomes Tame from its airspace as opposed to a person. If a dead Sheretz is held in the Avir, the airspace of a Kli Cheres, even without touching it, that is Metame the whole inside. But if the same Tame thing is held in the airspace of a person, it's not Metame him. And therefore, we have a proper Kal V'Chomer between people and Kli Cheres, learning that Tahara Balua does not become Tame even when the person is in a situation that he's Tame. The Gemara continues clarifying Rabba's Shita though. Ashchan Balua de Lamala. Up until now, we only see Balua of Lamala, of up above, which means when a person swallows something, he either swallows something Tame, so that's not going to Tame him anymore, or he swallows something Tahar, and now if he goes into a house which is Tame, so that thing inside him is not going to become Tame, that's Balua de Lamala, up above. But Balua de Lamata, Minolan, had really the same din applies by Balua of down below. What does it mean, Balua down below? Since he first is something placed in a tube and then inserted into the person's rectum, and it has to be like this, at least in regards to Toma, and that way the Toma never touched the person. And actually, as an interesting side note, back in the day, prisoners would hide contraband inside tubes inserted in the rectum, and that would escape detection by the guards. So the bottom line is, how do we know that Toma or Tahara Balua like this is included in Rabba's din? And the answer is Kal V'Chomer. We have another Kal V'Chomer. Uma lamala she'eino isa equal matzil, just like when he swallows it, it's up above. That doesn't cause digestion. Nonetheless, once it's inside him, it's saved, it's protected, and it's considered Toma or Tahara Balua, and therefore there's total protection. While lamata she'eisa equal, when it's down below, meaning at the very end of his digestive tract, that does create equal digestion. Ein din shematzil, shouldn't we say for sure that it's matzil? So we see this din even when it's lamata. Ask the Gemara, how can you say that? Klum oisa iko lamata, eloi de mala. Isn't the only way the lamata, the lower part of the person, able to cause digestion is because it went in through the mala, through the mouth? If a person puts food into their backside, it's not going to digest it. It's only if he eats it. So how could we say that mata in way is better than mala? It just simply doesn't work like that. The Gemara clarifies still, afilu hachi even so, equal de lamata rav, the digestion that happens in the lower part of the body is much more than that which happens in the upper part of the body. Namely, even though when a person eats food, it begins digestion over there, still the real digestion only happens in the lower parts of the body. Therefore, we could make a Kal V'Chomer between lower and upper. We further clarify the din of Rabba, Ashkan Balua de Adam. So we now found sources and clarifications regarding this whole din of Toma or Tahara Balua when it's inside of a person. Balua de Behema Menalan. How does the din of Balua applies to an animal as well? Then when he eats something that's Tame, or he has something that's Tar inside of him and he's in a place that's tameh, that's considered completely enclosed and protected. The answer is kal v'chomer. We have another kal v'chomer. Uma adam shematam mechayim, just like a person who could become tameh when he's alive, matzel b'blua, he still is matzel when he has something inside of him. Behema shein matam mechayim, an animal which can't become tameh when it's alive. If a corpse touches a cow, it's not going to make the cow tameh if the cow is alive. So ein adin shetatzel b'blua, shouldn't we say for sure that when there's some blua inside the animal, it has that din of b'lua? Has a gemara mal adam shekein tzarich shehiyah b'bayis hamenuga. What about a person? He's different. He requires shehiyah, waiting in a bayis hamenuga. We're going to say this in a moment in greater detail, but the general idea is when a person goes into a bayis hamenuga, a house that has tzaras, so if he goes in there just for a very short amount of time and then walks out and he wasn't shayha there, he didn't wait, so only he is tameh but not his clothing. In order for his clothing to become tameh, he needs shehiyah. He has to remain there for a while. So we see a kula dekadin by a person. Tamer behema, but you say the same applies to an animal. She'ein tzricha shehiyah bayis hamenuga. He does not require waiting in a bayis hamenuga. If an animal has clothing on him and he walks into the house that has tzaras, even if he turns right around and walks right out, those clothing became tameh, even without shehiyah. So how can you say that animals learn from person? The Gemara says, that's not even a question. Behema de'in tzricha shehiyah bayis hamenuga l'may hilchasa. That what you just said, that animal, if it goes into bayis hamenuga, a house that has tzaras, it doesn't have to be there for a certain amount of time. It doesn't require shehiyah, and still everything's going to become tameh. In regards to what was that said, l'keilim shel gabah, regarding kelim or clothing that are on top of it. Well, in that case, adam nami le'bayi, even if a person walks into bayis hamenuga and turns right around, any kelim that are on him are going to become tameh as well. How do we know this? None. We have a mishnah that says, hanichas bayis hamenuga, if a person walks into the house as saras, v'keilim lak seifav, and his clothing is on his shoulder, he's not wearing it, he just has it draped over his shoulder, v'sandalav t'baisav biyadav, and he's holding onto his shoes and his rings, who v'hein tameh miyad, he and them are tameh right away. That's only a hayalavish kelov. If he's wearing his clothing, v'sandalav raglav, and his shoes are on his feet, v'taisav batzbahi, and his rings are on his finger, so then who tameh miyad? He's tameh the moment he walks in, v'hein tahirin, but his clothing and everything that's on him are actually tahar. Until he waits the amount of time that it takes to eat half a loaf of wheat bread, not barley bread, reclining and eating with a dip of sorts. In other words, the only din that Adam is unique, that he requires shehiyah, requires waiting when he goes into bayis hamenuga, a house with saras, in order for his clothing to become tameh, that's when he's wearing his clothing. But if he's just holding his clothing or he has them draped over him, so he's no different than an animal, namely if both him and an animal walk into bayis hamenuga with clothing on their backs and they turn around right away and go back out, the clothing is still tameh, and so we see that we indeed could learn animal from person. So bottom line, we have a clarity in what Rabba said, that Toma Balua and Tahara Balua both are completely protected, they're both completely surrounded, and the Toma is not going to be Tameh the person, and the thing that's Tahara inside of him is not going to become Tameh when he goes into a place which is Tameh, and that applies to both Balua Lamala and Lamata, and applies to Balua by both people and animals. However, Amar Rava, Rava comes with a great question. Trevayu Tanani, we learned both of these dinim in a Mishnah, we don't need Rabba to tell us them. Toma Balua Tanina, Tahara Balua Tanino. We have a Mishnah of Toma Balua and Tahara Balua. What is this? Toma Balua, how do we know Toma Balua? Did not the Mishnah tell us very clearly, Bala Tabas Tameh, if a kind swallowed a ring which is Tameh, he go to the mikvah and eat truma, no problem, even though he has a tameh ring inside him. It's only hikiyah. If he then spat it out, he regurgitated it. So tameh, it is tameh, vitamasu, and turns mitameh him. As long as it's inside him, it's considered toma balua, and it's not mitameh him. So that's a clear mishnah regarding that. And tahar balua tanino, where do we see this? Then now we have a mishnah very clear that tells us, bal tabas tahira, if a person swallows a tahar ring, v'nichas l'oil mace, and he goes inside oil or underneath the roof that has a mace that has a corpse, and that means that he becomes tameh, v'hiza v'shana v'taval, and then he got za, and he got it again, which is part of the 7-day tahara process of a person who's tameh mace. He gets sprinkled by the mechatas, the water and ashes of the paraduma, on day 3 and day 7, and then he went to the mikvah. So that means he's 100% tahar, v'ikia, and then he spat out the ring. Harehi kamasha haisa, it's like it was before, it's tahar, and that's even though it was with him in the oil mace. So we clearly see from this mishnah, tahara balua, what do we need rabba for? And the answer is, kikama rabba, what was rabba talking about? Kigun shabala shtei tabais. As referring to a case where a person swallowed two rings, achas tameh v'achas tahara, one tameh, one tahar, and his chedesh is, delay metameh la tameh la tahara, that the tameh one is not metameh the tahar one, even though it touched it, and that's because of tom balua. And the reason why we're not able to learn this case from either of these mishnahs that we just quoted is because we could technically say that the chiddush of this first mishnah could be that the kayin isn't tamei anymore, but because of maga besa starim, like we mentioned on Amud Aleph. And even though we had said at the very beginning of the sugya there would still be tomas masa because he's carrying it, that's only with nevela, which is an original source of toma, as opposed to a ring which only became tamei because it was touched by toma. That does not have a din of masa. And so again, it could be that the first mishnah is talking about maga besa starim, and the second mishnah as well. We could attribute that ring remaining tahar because it's in besa starim, and that's why it doesn't become tameh when the person walks into an oil mace. It's only when two rings are swallowed, one is tahar and the other is tameh, perhaps the tahar one does become tameh, and it's not considered besa starim. As Rashi explains, it's because they're like in a box together. They're in the person's stomach that's like a box. And it's specifically this case that Rav is talking about, teaching that this is called toma balua and that it's not metameh. We're going to stop it for the day, but pick up tomorrow, continuing to discuss this. But for now, Everyone should have a wonderful day.